Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back, everybody. It's another new episode of your favorite podcast, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. This is Harold.
This is Lewis.
And this is Dennis.
All right. We actually got that in order, and I feel pretty proud of that without me being confused for once. It's kind of that time of the year where, I know that sounds kind of funny, but it's...
You have the tingling?
Yeah, that tingling, that spine tingling, actually, because it's fall. It's pretty much fall, and, you know... When we go into the whole autumn thing, we see everybody at the pumpkin patches.
Wait, what's autumn?
Autumn is, you know, that one.
That one season that one we season, don't get in.
It doesn't really exist. I mean, we're in Los Angeles, so there's that one season of summer, light summer, not so summer, almost summer, and then back to summer again.
Summer beta.
So,
could we call it up in autumn?
Jesus Christ. Nope. Oh, they got me.
Well played.
Lewis, you gotta do the voice quick.
Up and out
though. Okay, just check it.
But so that means we're approaching one of my favorite times of the year, and that is Halloween time. And a big part of Halloween in everybody's lives here is
Candy
and trick-or-treating, costumes, and of course, scary movies. So, we're kind of going to go into that direction today. We're going to discuss some of our favorite scary movies, as well as, you know, some family-friendly Halloween fare, and movies that just might scare us in general. So, we're going to start off today, Dennis. You can talk about how really familiar you are with movies that are so scary that you can't even sleep anymore.
Yeah, dude, you know, as I was telling Harold and Lewis, I'm really a pro at this. You know, again, one of the conceits that we have in our show is that there's two fanboys and one casual, and today I'm going to be that casual because I honestly can tell you, I can count the number of, like, horror movies... With horror,
yeah.
horror movies
I can count
that I know
in
like one finger. Because I have to tell you, every single time, just the thought of a horror movie, well, it terrifies the crap out of me. And, you know, and many times I told you that I'm from the Philippines, and for me, scary ghosts and all those things are not imaginary. I honestly think that they're real. And so, you know, there'll be days where I'm walking around and looking at my shadows, making sure that the shadow is the shadow of me and not of a little toy, because according to the Philippines, that could just be very well a spirit that's going to kill me.
Yeah.
So all those things are not movies to me. They are factual. So I have to tell you, like I said, I don't really know. I'm not familiar with horror movies. But when Harold and Lewis kind of brought it up, I realized there's at least one movie that fits that genre. And it was one of those things where I wasn't meaning to watch it. It would just like a lot of the people that watched this movie, most likely they got tricked into it beforehand. And the movie that I'm talking about is The Blair Witch Project, which came around 2009. That's 1999, 10 years before. And for those people who don't know, it's you know, it's one of those one of the first found footage movies where, you know, you're led to believe that this was somebody who just saw this this video and basically published it and sold it, and it was supposed to be a true to life event. Now, the reason why I say that it was accidental, and I think Harold and Lewis knows this, but a good friend of ours used to work for this company, the Artisan Entertainment, and one day we were at our apartment in college, and he was like, dude, you gotta watch this movie, We were like, okay, cool. And I sat down, and I tell you, I nearly pooped my pants. That's how scary it was, you know. And, you know, mind you, this was... months before they started promoting it, months before, and this was before the internet, you know, revealing anything. When I watched this, I really thought it was, you know, like the way he set it up, literally was, oh yeah, this is a video. And at the end, when you know, when the fact that when you watch that video, you're gonna die, you're gonna be the next. So I like. It's expletives everywhere, you know. I was like, "What the hell? Why the hell am I watching this thing?" And I have to tell you, like, looking back, I think it really was just. I don't know if it was the power of the movie, but the power of the way my friend set it up, because completely knew nothing about it, discovered everything about it, and I have to tell you, I enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed, after the fact that I knew that it was not real, I actually enjoyed it, and still to this day I talk about it and I still laugh about it, because it was one of those few moments, true moments, where I was really like terrified from a movie. And you know, and damn you know who you are, and you and I will never ever talk about this moment. But that's my very first one where I honestly, for a good couple of minutes until my friend told us that it wasn't really real, I was like just terrified. Like, why did you make me watch this movie? Interesting aside, afterwards, we decided to start creating the little stick figures.
Yes.
And I was gonna say that. Yes, I was gonna wait
because of the fact that I wanted other people to experience the same horror that I did. We started creating and putting it around our apartment building. So that's my first one.
No, I like that choice because you know what? It was like a product of its time. Like you said, it was like the first found footage movie. I think there's a bunch of copycat movies after that, and then. You know what I think helped is that this was still before the internet became, you know, what it is today. So a lot of that, you know, like you were saying, like word of mouth, like, dude, this is real. Or this is actual, like, this is basically a documentary. And I think that really helped because, yeah, I didn't want to go see it per se, but those are one of those, like, it was word of mouth, like, you got to see it because of what happens. And what I dig about it, like, oh, this is 30-year spoilers, but... As far as I know, there weren't like a lot of jump scares. It wasn't like a ghost or
there was no
which,
scares. There's in the no movie.
Yeah, it was like,
if you really think about it.
Yeah, you're right. Actually,
For me, it was like more suggestion.
Yeah.
You put all the suggestion in your head where it's like, this could be scary. If you think about it, this could be really scary.
Exactly.
And then it's just like you're waiting and anticipating the whole time, and they're like, okay, nothing's coming. Nothing's coming.
Yeah, it's right here. Right. We're gonna sit right here.
This is where.
I'm so scared.
I remember I took and this is gonna sound douchey, but I took two girls to watch that movie.
Yeah, that was douchey.
Yeah. And then I was like in my head, I was like, okay, whoever is more scared of the movie is the one I'm gonna go for. And then the fact that at the end neither of them were scared, I was like, crap.
That was a fail.
It's not gonna happen anything. Yeah, I mean that movie. You can't say it really holds up because now the fact that we know that it's not real.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest part of the thing is the, like everyone believed that it was, you know, like the way Dennis saw it was actually on a videotape. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of us when I saw it, it was on a movie screen, and it's obviously less realistic and way more jarring because like when you have the whole movie screen moving and like in that whole shaky cam thing.
Yeah.
Tons of people were throwing up.
But you know, kind of to end the whole thing, I quite agree. Like, you do something like this, it's not gonna have the same effect. You can't have the same movie and have people actually watch it because, you know, even before it will release, everybody knows the plot, everybody knows the idea, and everybody knows that it's not real. So, at least for this time, for me, that was my scary movie.
Yeah. And it still holds. I mean, it. Groundbreaking in the whole terms of the found footage thing, because before that, or before, you know, that genre didn't really exist. Now it even comes up in even like Cloverfield and kind of things but you know,
Paranormal Activity, like there's like 5-6 movies of the same genre.
Yeah.
So speaking of kind of groundbreaking stuff, for my selection of like my favorite quote unquote. I'm kind of with Dennis here. I'm kind of a casual when it comes to horror movies. I know there's lots of folks that this is like their wheelhouse. So, but anyway, for my choice, I'm gonna go with An American Werewolf in London. directed by John Landis, starring a bunch of guys that I don't think have done a lot of work since then. But so, like Dennis was saying, for his choice, what he liked, you know, the found footage thing, what I liked about this movie was, A, it was scary, but it wasn't like, the plot itself isn't anything memorable per se. It's two tourists who go to Europe or to London, and they're
would explain that.
it's in the title. Unfortunately, they don't do
was
that.
They're a vampire.
There's no.
But there was a werewolf.
There was a werewolf. It was very specific. It was on a nose. I was waiting for
werewolf in London.
Werewolf.
Was that a comma?
Was there a comma? Was it a question? Was it a statement? I don't know. That's what kills me. They didn't do the thing where it said, an American werewolf in London. They, you know, that's what you do when you play the Game of Thrones. Like, they didn't do the thing. Like, anyway, so...
Did they actually say that?
No, they did not.
Okay.
Oh, Game of Thrones. Yes, the first season they do the thing, and I was like, wah. You die when you play the Game of Thrones. Like, aw, he did the thing. So... For this one, this I chose because this I saw when I was very young, and I blame my parents for letting us, my brother and I, rent this at our local video store. And like I said, the plot isn't much to really talk about. Again, tourists in London, they get attacked by some paranormal thing. A few weeks later, we find out, one of the friends dies, but comes back as a zombie, not in the title. But the other...
Wait, I'm so confused.
Yeah, there's a zombie, there's a werewolf, but no vampires. Oh, okay. Sorry. So, but one of the friends comes back as a werewolf. So every full moon, he comes back. All the cliches that we talk about now about werewolves, you know, full moon, silver bullets, you know, rabid attacking, that kind of stuff. It kind of, a part of me feels like it stems from here, or at least John Landis, the director of this movie, made it mainstream. Now, again, the movie, what really stuck out for me for this movie was the transformation. It was... like, amazing in a sense that it scared the poo out of me back then. You watch it now, it still holds up in a sense that John Landis used a lot of practical effects. This was made in 1982 or 1981, so there wasn't any CGI back then, unless there wasn't any CGI for that transformation. And it was so scarring and it was so jarring because, like, it wasn't just the visuals of this guy painfully transforming into the werewolf, but the sounds, I think that's the part that actually, like, sticks in my head a lot. When you see that his legs stretch out to become more canine, I guess, in a sense, you can hear, like, bones cracking, and I was like, oh my gosh, I still cringe right now thinking about it. So that was really what stuck out to me. Movie still holds up, really great movie, but it was one of those things where the scene, like, makes the movie. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like, there's some movies that, like, I guess kind of like The Matrix. So you love The Matrix, a great movie, but, like, the subway scene is what makes the movie. So for me, American Werewolf in London was made by that amazing transformation sequence and made werewolves, like, super cool. For the longest time, I thought they were cooler than, like, Frankenstein or zombies or any other vampire movie like that. So that's my choice for favorite scary movie.
You know what I like about that movie is, you talk about that scene. The other scene I always remember is Griffin Dunne as the zombie.
Oh, yeah.
And where he meets him is in a porno theater.
Yeah, like, that's right.
Because the last couple times I've seen the movie, it's been on, like, VH1 or something like that. So in the background, you just see a blurred screen of, like, that's banging and everything. But, like, I was like, I remember the original. Yeah. I was like, I'm pretty sure they're in a porno theater.
It wasn't just some random AMC.
You know what? I watched the sequel to this movie.
There was a sequel?
Yeah, American Werewolf in Paris.
Oh, okay.
And it was... okay.
Okay.
It wasn't that scary. I think I literally, like, right when you started talking about that scene, it's like, that's one of Rick Baker's, like, first things.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
it's like, you know, he developed that kind of, you know, that kind of, like, scary feel with a lot of the creatures that he ended up doing out eventually. And just seeing that scene, and then I can transition to this later, but that, the whole John Landis, Rick Baker thing, that was just a great connection. You know?
No, one thing I really liked about that movie was nothing. I never watched it.
didn't know that movie existed until right now. I think he was thinking of a vampire in Brooklyn.
Like, wait, Eddie Murphy was great. That's the genre Dennis is going to get into. Monster in place.
Do snakes count? Because
snakes on a plane?
In a plane.
Dude, that's a scary movie, dude. That might not be a horror movie, but that movie scared the crap out of me.
Hey, guess what? Never watched it. So, yeah.
It's, you know, it's there's snakes.
In a plane. Got it. Again, it's a title.
Self-explanatory.
That's why you should be okay if there's, like, you know, wait time in between flights, just so that somebody can go around and check if there are snakes. Life lesson, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Good point, Dennis. My first scary movie, and I'm going with a more recent one because it's kind of still fresh in my head, is a Korean zombie film called Train to Busan. It was on Netflix.
Wait, that's a scary movie?
Dude.
Okay, dude. I really thought, maybe that's a little racist, but I really thought it was like a martial arts film. And I was going to be watching it soon.
I know.
Okay.
I was like, well,
no, I thought it was like an artsy film, like, you know, Bridges of Madison County.
That's the crazy thing is when my friends were first telling me about it.
I want to go to Busan.
Yeah, I'd like to take this train to Busan. No, you don't. Nobody wants to take any of those trains. Because it's the movie, it starts out, like it does, it starts out very artistic. It's like, oh, there's this dad, and he's, like, having problems with his wife, or they're divorced, I can't remember. But he's like, I gotta take my kid to go, you know, meet the wife. And then, like, the whole train ride, it's like, oh, by the way, there's a zombie infection. It's starting at the front, and then it's coming to the back.
Ooh!
And it's kind of like Snowpiercer.
Yeah, I love Snowpiercer.
It's kind of like that in that it's a, or it seems like a video game where, you know, you're advancing levels.
Yes, nice.
But, you know, you're trying to get past everything.
Every sub boss.
And then it's like, they go, oh, there's another station. We got to get to another train. And it's like, it gets amped up crazier and crazier. It's not like those old, and it's kind of fun where it's not the old zombies where they're old and slow. These ones are like semi-intelligent and they're still maintain, okay, you know, a sense of humanity, but with the powers of like a zombie. So it's like the crazy, it's funny because it is new and it's from, you know, another country. So obviously with horror movies, language does not need to be a good translation. It's more about the visual stuff.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
You know, if you do read the story, if you do read the subtitles, you find out that it's a really good story behind it. But I mean, yeah, I was in the same boat with you guys where my friends were like, okay, we're going to watch this movie called Train to Busan. And I was like, I don't really want to watch, you know,
Criterion movies.
Yeah. And, like, and then they're like, no, I heard it's an action movie. And that's all my friend said was, it's an action movie.
Okay.
It's super an action movie, but it's a action zombie movie.
Okay.
And, you know, like I was going to tell, like I told these guys before, I was thinking of going, oh yeah, my pick's going to be Shaun of the Dead, because of course, me.
Yeah.
And this is kind of in the same vein, except not funny. But, you know, like, in, like, you know, in Shaun of the Dead, you know, the actual zombie presence and fear is very prevalent around the whole movie. It's like where you're scared of the zombies the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's this one, it feels the same kind of atmosphere, because like in Shaun of the Dead, they're stuck in a bar. And
yeah.
It's limited to just the bar. This one, they're limited to trains and just train tracks. And it's like, you know, how do you proceed? There's like a couple of times where people are stuck in bathrooms. And then they're like, they gotta get back to the safe spot. And it's like, how are you gonna get out of the bathroom? And then, you know, do you pretend to be a zombie to get out of the bathroom? Yeah. Like you're one of the guys.
Why not?
Yeah, but like the stakes are very high, and then you don't realize, you know, if you're put into that situation, how things are gonna go crazy like that. And like for him, like the main character at least, it's twofold where he's, you know, trying to take care of himself, but at the same time he has his daughter, and he's like, you gotta keep his daughter safe the whole time. So
what I'm learning so far is that your friends are horrible.
Yeah, totally.
Because one lied about Blair Witch, the other lied about action movie.
And then your parents didn't care.
Yeah, yeah,
what you watch. Okay, cool. I'm glad we're letting this out. Which, by the way, since you're talking about terrible parents, I told you, one finger to count horror movies, but since I feel like I need to say something because, you know, podcast, and it goes around, yes, and it's my turn now. And technically, it's a thriller, horror type thing, even though there's really no scary things. But the next one I want to talk about is Jaws. Jaws, I believe Steven Spielberg, right?
Yes.
Okay. And it's a really classic movie. You know, there's different quotes, especially when Quint, I think that's his name, was like doing the doing his like little sea shanties and all those things.
Yeah.
But the one thing, like, looking back, and I've watched it a couple times after the fact, just because you know, it might be on TV and everything. It's hilarious. It's funny to me that it doesn't really hold up, you know.
Oh, okay.
At least, no, well, it's a good movie.
Right.
But, like, the visuals and everything doesn't really hold up. And I think that that actually helped out because, you know, everybody talks about it, where the shark really was not the main focus of it. I think that was the cool thing, kind of like the Blair Witch Project and some, I would imagine, good horror movies. It's the anticipation that, you know, like, is it getting there? What's going to happen? And then, you know, the few times where you actually see the shark. Today, you look at it, it's like, oh, it looks like the ride from from Universal Studios. But the reason why I mention this is because when I watched it, I was really, really young. I was really young. I think I was like 10 or so, like, uh-huh, or 8, like, I was really, really young, is what I'm trying to tell you. And I remember that we had a Betamax machine. And
machine?
A Betamax.
Google Betamax, kids.
And I remember there were two cassettes there. One was a cassette that I had watched over and over and over again, and it was Star Wars. You know, so I remember watching that over and over again. But the next one was Jaws, and I never read. Nobody ever I never touched it. So one day, like, I was bored. My dad popped it in, and just to kind of give you a scene, with my house in the Philippines was a really big living room. The floor itself was, like, I don't know what material, maybe marble, I don't know,
diamond,
but like really cold, right? And I had I was sitting on the couch, and I remember I was so terrified about this, but I couldn't stop watching, but I was jumping and everything. I was so terrified that when the movie finished, it kind of shows you how scarred I was. I put my foot on the floor, and the connection of cold floor and water hit my head, and I could not go on the floor. I could not walk. My father had to pick me up and bring me to my bed. That's how terrified I was.
Jeez.
And I kid you not, I thought that I was done. The very next day, I had swimming lessons. And I was swimming, and in the middle of the, and we were at this place called Valle Verde, and Green Valley. The place was called Green Valley, and Green Valley had a logo at the beginning, at the bottom. It's this black G, G and V. Okay, and I was swimming, and I looked down, and by the way, this is a swimming pool I've swam for like 2 years already. Like, every other day I was swimming. I looked down, I see this black shape. I panicked and I almost drowned. I was like screaming, and for a good like couple weeks, I could not, because that, again, that's where I was taking my swimming lessons. My dad would bring me there, he would force me to swim, and every single time I would get halfway, the symbol was there, and I would go back, and he would get pissed off at me and get angry. I was like trying to explain, I can't do it. To this day, I have to tell you, there will be days where I'd be in the swimming pool, and I'll see like something flashing, and I kind of like, I know there's no shark, but I have like a little, oh, what was that? You know, and also, you know, I am a fan of trying to surf. I'm unsuccessful for it. But no matter where we are, that's always going to be the one thing that gets to me. Okay. Real quick aside, real quick story. There was one time I was out with my brother in the ocean, And my girlfriend, my wife now, was there, and we were in the water, and then we hear her shouting, and she's like waving her hands, like upset, like trying to call us in, and I hear somebody shouting, and I hear shark, and I was like, oh. Crap!
This is it.
I just like held as fast as I can, and I got there and go, Where was it? And my wife goes, oh, I was telling you that it was a dolphin, not a shark. So to this day, that movie has scarred me for life.
I don't think you're the only one, but that's okay. That story's great. Because you just picked up the shark part, not the part.
You know, the one time I was in the Philippines, like with my family, I remember my sister, let's see, we were in one of those small boats, and my dad had stood up in the boat, so it sank it, so my sister were like swimming back to shore, so they put us in these different boats, and then I remember specifically when we were out there, they were like, okay, your boat is fine, but for some reason, your sister's boat is really far, and that looks like a tiger shark. And then they were like, I was like, oh god! And then I was like waving to them, we're like, shark. I was like putting my hand on my head like a fin, like, you know, my hand's like a shark's fin. But they didn't understand what they were doing. But then the, you know, great lifeguards that apparently work at the whole beach club, we're just like, well, there's really nothing we can do. It's either it's just going to pass, or they're going to get eaten. Yeah, I was like, thank you for...
It's very either or.
Let's wait and see.
Yeah, I was like, you guys can either be really part of a great tourist story, or one of the exceptions. Also, like, as an aside to Jaws is, with my family, I remember my mom had a copy of the book Jaws, and I couldn't stare at the cover, A, because there's like boobies on it, so
yes.
I was kind of scared.
I do remember that.
But B, because that shark, just like that face, scared the crap out of me. And like, just to mess with my cousins before, I would just, you know, we just bring out the book and like, you know, show it to them and stuff like that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If you watch, like I said, if you watch the movie, the shark, you're like, oh, that's
But I think that's part of the story, not to get behind the scenes, but if I'm not mistaken, I mean, Harold's our film fanboy here, but like they were having troubles with the shark, with the actual shark, so they had to save
it. Because of the salt water.
Oh, okay.
Like, it was interfering with like the electricals, and it was sinking, so yeah.
It was an actual like practical effect shark. Okay, got
that's
it.
And then that's also why they really limited the amount of,
of shark.
You know, shark time. So, and then I'm sensing a thing here with Dennis is that he's not scared so much of the visual stuff, but of the implications.
This is unknown.
Notice how I'm okay with zombies.
Yeah, yeah. Okay with zombies. Like, if it's in a space, it's like, hey, cool.
Yeah, people are getting massacred. It's like,
that's possible.
But you're saying something might tug at my shirt?
A pile of rocks in the dirt? Like, oh, all right, bring it up. See ya. I'm not here for this.
Gotcha.
So for my choice, I'm going to go with a little something. So I went a little old school with American Werewolf in Paris. We're going to go a little more newer, relatively newer. One of my favorite movies was Cabin in the Woods. This was produced by Joss Whedon, who, I don't know, some guy.
It's not a monster in a place, but it's...
Yes.
Cabin?
Actually, it is. Or is a cabin the monster?
Well, with this movie?
Actually, yeah, you're right. So, yeah.
And four.
Yes, and the whole thing. So for this one, the premise is, it actually, so earlier I was saying how American Werewolf kind of set up the cliches, set up the stereotypes. This one actually was very smart in the sense that it played against type and it tried to explain a lot of the cliches, yet offer a lot of great scares. Because, okay, so for the premise of this movie, six friends go to the cabin in the woods. They actually do the thing. They said, there's a cabin in the woods. But
they show the thing.
Yes, and they show the thing too. And then I have to close my eyes. So they do, the first half of the movie, they go through a lot of the great jump scares, a lot of the cliches of like, here's a haunted doll, here is a haunted book. It's like, oh, again, haunted object, you know, whatever. And then, but the second half of the movie, again, 10-year-old spoilers, It turns out that these six teenagers were actually part of an experiment by a larger organization that was trying to appease, like, an elder god kind of type of thing that would eat or destroy the earth, and that they need to be sacrificed in a certain order, and et cetera, et cetera. And then it basically, like, played off that... I guess it's kind of like if you've watched Buffy, if you watch Angel, Joss Whedon likes to really play with these cliches of monster, these monster cliches, and just make it a little bit more practical that, yes, there is a hierarchy, or there's some kind of, like, there's an operation to how this happened. So that was a great twist of it. Like, it starts off as a traditional scary movie, but then it turns into, like, almost kind of fun action flick towards the end, right? Like, because one of the great scenes, I'm going to keep sticking to certain scenes, but towards the end, the climax of the film, out of the six teenagers, spoilers again, only two were left. They find out that they are, like I said, the cabin is part of this facility that actually, like, hoards and, like, manipulates these classic monsters. And in the big
hordes,
these monsters. And in the big climactic ending, the two teenagers get to the control room and they release all the monsters on the facility at the same time. So it becomes like the greatest hits album of monster kills and monsters. And it's just 20 minutes of, like, insanity, to the point where it's like, yeah, like I said, the first half I was tense, I was scared. The second half I'm like, all right, a unicorn just stabbed a dude. Awesome. And then, like, one of the funniest part is, like, you know, they're almost joking at this fish guy. He's like, you're on land, what are you gonna do? And he, like, eats the scientist. I'm like, ha, that's great. But again, a lot of cheap wiggle today. The guy calls him Shark Shark. I don't know why I did the shark fin right there. But anyway, so yeah, that's one of my picks, one of the great movies. If you're, hopefully you guys are making this list and y'all can watch this over the Halloween weekend. But yeah, that's my choice.
Yeah, that movie, I was not expecting that movie to be as funny as it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't totally expecting, you know, what the movie title says. It's a cabin in the woods.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're used to those kind of movies. Like, I've seen Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, and that's exactly what I was expecting. And then that turn where it turns into the whole digital thing, and I'm like,
oh. All
right. I was like, dude, this is...
Okay.
This is good.
Yeah, it's like modern Castlevania. Let's do this.
If I could watch that movie again without being scared. Here's the thing is, I preface this story, I mean, this episode with the fact that, you know, I claim to be some kind of, you know, movie expert on a lot of things. I am terrified by horror movies. Scary movies, every time one of my friends, she loves them, every time she's like, yeah, let's go watch this, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm busy that day. I think I'm going to be, you know, doing something else. I try to get out of it as much as possible. Like, I just don't like scary movies in general. But the ones that I did enjoy is the ones that are more clever ones. So for me, I really enjoyed the whole Scream series. I, as a kid, never wanted to watch those horror movies, like I said. But I understood what the tropes were for everything. Where it's like, you know, typical things where there's a killer, there's a serial killer, and he's going to kill a bunch of people. And then we're not going to find out who the killer is until, you know, the very end. And for, you know, the very first Scream, you have that twist where there's two killers.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like the whole made by Wes Craven, like the creator of the Nightmare on Elm Street series, and making fun of his whole series. It's just like half, it's supposed to be comedic, and it somewhat is. But for me, because the stories were based in like a lot of real time, those were the more effectively scary movies for me, because, like, the sequel does it. The sequel establishes that they have copycat killers, and that actually became a thing. And, you know, trying to believe that that's a real world thing that can actually exist, that was way more scarier than any kind of haunted or, you know, mass murder that I can ever believe. So. Yeah, Scream movies.
I dig it.
So we've talked about a couple of the, you know, actual scary movies for us, but at the same time, we want to go over some more family-friendly Halloween fare.
Yeah. We have some listeners that have kids.
Yeah, so if we have any suggestions, then.
Mine would be, and again, I could actually join in this conversation. My,
you can count on two hands.
Two hands. Two-handed counting. One of the thing, one of the movies that I would say that like kind of affected me was Ghostbusters. Now, Ghostbusters itself,
classic,
and it's a comedy. But everybody knows the scene. It's the very first scene where you're in the library, and everything's perfect. The music,
yes,
you know, the visuals of the books flying and everywhere, and you know, Venkman and Egon, and not Venkman. Venkman was there
in the first scene.
Yeah,
the librarian.
First scene, yeah, the librarian. Oh no, that was the librarian. You're right. Yeah. No, but he shows up again.
He comes up again.
Yeah, but just that first scene where you knew that there were going to be ghosts, but just seeing that, you know, that ghost for the very first time, for some reason, even to this day, still terrifies the crap out of me.
Yeah, I usually skip that part of the movie.
No,
because that's the only scary part.
Exactly.
Those two scenes are the only scary parts of the movie, is the library. Everything else is like,
Everything is cool. Just that one scene. And so, for me, I would suggest kind of skipping that whole thing, but kind of along the same lines, and I know not the movie that not that many people really like promoted, but it was Ghostbusters, the remake,
yeah,
where you know the ladies were the one in charge, were the Ghostbusters, and personally, and I don't know if we've ever talked about it, I actually loved that movie, but they kind of recreate a scene, kind of the very same thing, and where this guy kind of is a curator of this museum, and he they do the very same thing, the music moving things around, and even to this day, I still, when I watched that, I was like, oh crap, I know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
It's the same exact thing, and then when you see it, you're like, oh god. You know, visual effects back then, not as cool, not as good, but still terrifies the crap out of me right now.
Solid choice. For me, for the more kid-friendly fare, I recommend Monster Squad. Because, A, that's what I was raised on, too. So, again, story of, it's very 80s, in a sense, what do you call it, with a whole bunch of teenage, or actually not even teenage, preteen friends getting together trying to solve a problem or fix stuff. And then what I liked about the Monster Squad too is it feels like literally a kid wrote it. It's like a who's who of all the monsters you want to see in a movie and just throw it in there, even if the plot makes zero sense. But then again, it's a horror movie, so let's just have fun with it. So you got your classic Dracula, Mummy, Frankenstein's monster, merman, and was that
the wolfman,
of course. Because you know what, I think after
no, but he gets kicked in the nards.
Yeah. Wolfman's got nards, which my son said ad nauseum.
Ad nauseum.
He kept saying that whole weekend, and my wife was so mad at me because I showed it to him last year, and he's like, "Wolfman's got nards." I'm like, "No, what? Stop, dude."
I thought you kept to say ad nauseum.
Stop.
Ad nauseum.
That was my older son. I was like, stop it. So, great fun. It's unlike Ghostbusters. I don't think there, if I remember correctly, there weren't any like jump scares or anything very scary. But part of me feels like if you have young kids, nephews, nieces, or whatnot, and you kind of want to introduce them to the tropes of the horror genre, to the classic monsters, like this is a great way to start. Don't do... Actually, maybe even The Mummy. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, this is a great start to kind of like, here's a family-friendly thing. And then you can you check off all of the boxes of what you need to know about every monster. Like, Wolfman's got nards. And B, his weakness is silver bullets. Dracula can't be out in the sun. Mummies can be unraveled hilariously. And, you know, Frankenstein is dumb but sweet. Yeah. So it's like, that's cool. I like that movie a lot. So highly recommended, kid fare.
So wait, I'm kind of confused. Are we talking about shows that kids would watch or that should watch? Or because I don't know if I can show my daughter Ghostbusters yet.
Yeah, you can.
I don't know, dude. Because
how old is how? Okay, we don't talk about it.
Well, it's good,
but because I saw it when it first came out, like in a year after because of Warehouse. So if the movie came out in 84,
you know, it's a place that you can
rent movies.
Oh, like wait, no,
yeah. Okay. But like so we started watching it like in 85. So you know, 5 years old.
65, yeah.
And yeah, that thing scared the it might damage you. But then you know she'll end up eventually being like us. So I don't know
what's the credibility. My only other thing about Ghostbusters besides the first scene, there was that one scene of, I don't know if I can say this, so Dennis, I'm sorry if you have to bleep this out, but there's like ghost fellatio. And
that's true.
So when that, then it's like, when I was showing that to Noah, he's like, "What's this?" Like, just fast forward, dang it.
But you know, that's one of the things where it's like, "Hey,
what's going on?"
As a child, you're like, "I have no idea what's going on," but he's making funny faces.
He's getting a foot massage from the ghost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Foot massage right in the waist area.
By the way, as long as you say it in French, it's okay.
Oh, okay. So I'm another
trois. Thank you, iTunes.
Or I don't. You know what's funny? My nephew was actually asking me about Monster Squad earlier this year. And he's like, what movie are you talking about? I was like, so it's basically the Goonies versus Monsters.
Yes.
And he was like, I dig it. And I was like, I got it at home. You can borrow it.
You get it.
My two things real quick is, first of all, Thriller.
Oh, nice.
The music video. And just because it used to be.
That is kind of creepy.
It's
right.
Super scary. And the only reason I bring it up is because when we were kids, my dad would rented it, or it was on MTV a bunch of times, and every time it would come on, my cousin would hide behind the chair because he was scared of the whole thing the whole time. So I think one of the other times my other cousins hid behind him, and as soon as the music video started, they started scaring him. So. But the other thing I wanted to bring up was, oh dang, I totally blanked on what I was supposed to do right now.
Well, I'll go next.
Yeah.
One more. Arguable if it's kid friendly or not, but Beetlejuice.
That's what I was gonna say.
Good choice.
What did I play?
I actually haven't seen that in a while, but yes, go ahead.
Was a good choice.
I was gonna say,
I've never seen it.
What is this? Three amigos?
But now that you brought that up, now we can discuss it. That's fine.
No, go ahead.
No. Because the only reason I'm saying that is because tonight, and I don't know, whatever this is, but over the weekend, or you know, for at least for us tonight, they are showing Beetlejuice for $5 at Simi Valley.
Valley.
So
what are we doing?
Sorry, it's at 10 o'clock. It's at 10 o'clock. So I don't know. If,
ooh.
Is that too late?
Well, for Lewis it is, but
can you take Noah?
Can you take Noah? But when I was thinking, when I was talking to one of my friends last night about the movie, it's like, that was one of the first scary movies I saw in the theater. And is it really that scary?
You're right.
If you don't think about it, it's not scary. But if you're older and you're like really looking at the visuals and like whatever is going down, it's kind of creepy.
It's messed up.
But that's the thing, though. For me, it's the creepiness. And I think for kids, they're still going to be terrified because there's some visuals there that's really terrifying. But you have the dancing, the singing, you know, when they do the day-o, you know,
yes.
It's funny. But for me, the implication of, like, it's more of an existential thing. It's like,
ooh.
Oh, crap, I'm going to be there, sitting there on that very same couch, with, you know, and I'm going to be,
this is the afterlife.
A billion and three... it's like the DMV, but for the dead, you know. It's like, damn it, yeah. And so, overall, it's not just the visual. Overall, just the idea of that being the afterlife is just kind of terrifying. That those two, like in the end, they make it. Oh, it's a happy ending. But those two are still stuck in that very same house.
Yeah.
They can't do anything. They can't leave that house. And so for the rest of the eternity, that guy can't get new like pieces.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, if you really think about the whole thing, is it seems like a happy ending where, you know, you have one of my favorite songs that's Shake, Shake, Shake Sonora.
Yeah.
And, you know, they get Winona Ryder to do her thing. But it's like, long run, Winona Ryder's going to die eventually.
Mm.
Is she going to be back in the house too with him? Like,
most likely, the way it's looking.
I mean, but man, Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice, still one of the most... Probably one of my favorite, like, movie characters of all time.
Yeah.
Because he embodied that whole character. That's why it was always hard to go from he's Beetlejuice, and what's his next role? He's Batman. It's like,
that was a hard stop. It's like, yeah.
But Michael Keaton, greatest actor of all time?
I know, I guess. Talk about range, dude.
Yeah, back to back, those are...
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Classic, bro.
Okay, last choice, I think we're going to wrap it up soon.
Yeah, that was my last
choice. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll go with Dennis on that last choice.
So. Okay. Oh, do you want to wrap it up? Or,
no.
Okay. But my last one...
You have to contribute something.
I think you're contributing, man. I'm all right today. what do you call it?
Is it going to be a place or a thing in another place?
No, actually, I'm going to go total 180, and this is going to be a name. So Harold brought it up when I brought up Monster Squad, and he said, so you're talking about Van Helsing, the sequel. So I'm going to go with Van Helsing. Again, Van Helsing, the movie, starring Hugh Jackman, you know, the guy who played Wolverine, and Kate Beckinsale from the Underworld series. And
That is her.
That was her, yes. Oh, so,
she got an automatic bow.
That's all I really remember about it. How does that work
anyway? Yeah, there's a lot of suspending of belief in this movie. So this is kind of why it falls under, like, you know, fun family fare that you can watch with the kids if you guys are having a Halloween party. To cut it short, it's basically Monster Squad set in the, like, it's Ren Faire Monster Squad, where Wolverine and Underworld Lady get to play dress up and kill... Again, the same list of people that I just mentioned earlier. You got a Frankenstein's monster, a werewolf, Dracula, Dracula's wives, and it's almost cartoonish, and it's totally like almost a part of these says 80-90% CGI. I think only the Frankenstein's monster was practical effects, but everything else was funny CGI Matrix looking action. But again, it kind of covers all of your monsters. It's a fun little romp. Again, total popcorn movie where you kind of turn off your head. It's nothing classic like Beetlejuice, like these guys mentioned, but it's still fun. It's still a good like TNT movie where it's on and you just leave it on and enjoy the ride. So
What I was telling Lewis before is that after the first time I saw Van Helsing, I was kind of mad because I said, oh, they just reimagined the Monster Squad.
Yeah.
Only because, you know, they have the same exact villains and everything, but the same turn where... Frankenstein's monster ends up being not such a bad guy and being like one of the heroes in the end. And I was like, this seems vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
It's ruining my childhood right now.
At least they didn't kill the girl in Monster Squad. You know?
Yeah.
Spoilers, Kate Beckinsale died. Anyway, she turns into like Mufasa and turns into a cloud. I don't know, at the end. Exactly, we get into the cloud. And the cloud turns into Kate Beckinsale. I was like, what? I know. All the light touches.
You've forgotten me.
All right, so, you know, good discussion as usual, guys. It's fun to see the fact that even though we say that we're not so much horror fans, we do have
horror
movie fans. But we, you know, we do have certain films that we do hold near and dear to our hearts that have either scared us and taught us lessons about...
Traumatized
us, for the most part.
In some cases.
And also, at the same time, you know, learning that Halloween is a kid's kind of event, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that they should be able to enjoy a little bit of a scares, too. So,
absolutely.
Anything else that we need to discuss, guys?
No, that's it.
No, we're good. As usual... you guys can find any of our information on...
Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual is located in a website that is so wonderful. It's called twofanboysonecasual.com. I forgot the website.
Very good, very good. What was that website again?
twofanboysonecasual.com.
And on Facebook, you can find us just in the search box, Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. We'll be posting all of our podcasts when they go live, any fun links, articles, and pictures that we find on the internet. You can also contact us through there. Slide into our DM, send us a message. Let us know if there's anything fun or cool out there. Oh, also, where you can, maybe if you're interested, let us know if you want to buy some of our shirts. We have some merchandise now, so yeah, it's on our website for sure. And like I said, you can message us on Facebook if you like, and also on...
Twitter and Instagram, both at Two Fanboys, One Casual. We are very interactive on all of our social media accounts. So if you guys ever need to contact us for anything, like if you guys have ideas for an episode, or if you guys want to write for our website and everything, or
yeah, please God, we're running out of ideas.
Yeah, sort of. And if you ever, you know, actually, if you guys are interested in being a guest on one of our episodes, you know, hit us up and let us know that you know you like the content that we have here, and you'd love to hear more of it.
Before we end, Louis kind of mentioned the merch. The time that you listen to this, we are days away from LA Comic Con.
That's right.
So you know we've been kind of promoting this. We're not in a panel or anything. We're just gonna be walking around trying to look cool in our shirts. If you want to see us, we're gonna be there on Saturday.
Yes, sir.
And if you see us, hit us up on our thingies.
What is it called? I want to see him get out of this
one. Like Instagram and Twitter, those things. Social media. That's the name of it.
I was looking at the wheel spinning. And I was like,
that's the word.
He's gonna get it. He's gonna get it.
So yeah, you know, contact us, and if you want to meet up, if you want to say hi, you know, we'd love to see the people behind the ears.
People behind the ears.
They listen to us, right? So like connected to the ears. I don't know. So yeah, and remember, my big promise is if you go and see us and you give Harold the
secret handshake,
you might get something in return.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it's not gonna be terrible.
Or an STD.
Hopefully, it's not something you have to see a doctor for.
Wow,
guys. It's French. You don't have to edit it.
Yeah. It's a DD.
Doctor.
Yeah. When you're French, you just have to add that at the end and you're good, right?
Le
doctor. Le STD. Le gonorrhea.
Wait till the outro.
Oh, sorry. No, that's not how it goes. All right, that can be another episode. All right, guys. So that concludes another episode of our. What's the name of the
thing?
I can't remember what that is. Now, this is Harold.
This is Lewis.
And this is Dennis.
Thank you so much.
They're gonna read.